With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice-to-text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. Getting started is so simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. Effecty gave me the opportunity to try their service out, and I have to say, it is just as easy as they say it is. I filled out the questionnaire, and within days, a package arrived at my door filled with everything I needed and detailed instructions. Their website also tells you everything you need to know, and you can always chat with your healthcare provider. It really is that simple and convenient. So if you're ready to level up your weight loss game, my listeners can now get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code ATTWG at checkout. That's effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code ATTWG to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So get started today.
Darkcast Network, the light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
We are Wendy and Beth, and we host the podcast Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color. Tell the people about the show, Wendy.
Well, happy to. As you might have guessed by now, our show focuses on serial killers of color. We decided to make this the focus of our show because most of the podcasts that we listen to focus on whole white serial killers, also male, cisgender, hetero serial killers. And we thought the space could use a little spice, a little diversity.
Yeah, and we believe that the victim stories are important. Many of the victims are also BIPOC folks, and the media just doesn't focus on these people.
We also get plenty of opportunities to discuss race, race relations, systemic oppression, policing, history, and culture. We learn something new every day, and we hope that you do too.
Join us as we tell the fascinating stories of these crimes that often go untold by the mainstream media. Subscribe or download Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color now on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
In 2015, 19-year-old Caitlin Akins had graduated high school and was getting ready to start a new life. The teenager fell in love and left her small Virginia town to move across the country to Arizona with her fiancé. She was living her life and making changes, but when her sister gave birth to a son that December, Caitlin immediately flew home to meet her new nephew. The trip was a short one, only about 4 days. She had a plane ticket back to Arizona on December 5th, but she never made it to the airport. 6 years later, Caitlin still hasn't been found, but her family believes they know exactly who knows the full story. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. I want to tell you the story of Caitlin Akins. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. We are deep into season 3 now, by which I mean episode 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we doing things out of order?
No, we're not. So yes, thank you so much. I do want to give a shout out to the True Crime Podcast subreddit because you sent me that link, which I did not know you stalked Reddit. It's just because I don't think you even have a Reddit account.
I don't. I somehow set it up that I get emails.
Oh.
When about true crime.
Oh, interesting.
When that pops up. So.
Well, so somebody posted on there. They're like, does anyone know where it went? And Then They Were Gone is coming back. It seems like they're on an extended hiatus. And what I love is the person who immediately commented, it's right there in their name.
Yeah. There were quite a few of those comments through the thread that was like, there is a clue.
So thank you so much because that I very much enjoyed. But anyway, we are back. We're back next week. We're back again this week.
Also, I don't feel like that was an extended hiatus. I mean, we took a month off over the holidays.
Yeah.
No, well, I guess maybe it was more.
No, it was only a month, but... So anyway, so thank you for caring.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
But yeah, so we are back and this week we are going to talk about a semi-local story to us because we are based in Virginia and this one is just about 2 hours south, down in the like Stafford, Fredericksburg type area.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that area.
Exactly. So right down 95. So this is the story of Caitlin Akins. Caitlin Michelle Akins was born on September 2nd, 1996 in Indiana to Lisa Sullivan and Jason Akins. The couple had another daughter, Gabrielle, who goes by Gabby. But the relationship didn't last, and Caitlin and Gabby's father exited their lives when Caitlin was a toddler. Lisa moved her two kids to Spotsylvania, Virginia, where she met James Branton. James was an insurance agent for Geico, and the pair married when Caitlin was seven. And by the way, like, Geico is a huge employer here. Because what I never knew is that they started as like a federal insurance agency, didn't they?
The name Government Insurance Employees Company didn't give that away?
Nobody knows that's what Geico stands for. That is not a thing. That's not common knowledge.
But that's what it stands for.
Okay, I'm not saying that. Nobody knows that though, you dork.
Government Employees Insurance
Company. Right. So like everybody around here works for Geico.
I know. When I first moved to this area, I actually lived in Fredericksburg with two friends from college, and they worked at Geico.
Oh, yeah. And there's like a Geico training center right by here. Like, it's a whole thing. So James was the only father who the girls had ever known. And so even though he and Lisa divorced after 6 years of marriage, he was still in their lives. He was there for birthdays, holidays, graduations, things like that. But according to an interview with one of Caitlin's good friends, Kevin Eastridge, that he gave to Crime Watch Daily, the relationship between Caitlin and her stepfather was not always easy. While she never told Kevin that James had like physically abused her or anything like that, she did say that he was verbally abusive. Caitlin was extremely intelligent and a hard worker. She always had jobs. And at one point, she was even working at a local Wawa with her mother, Lisa. She also managed to graduate high school when she was 16.
Wow, really?
Yeah. like she was smart and just ready to go. Even though she was driven, she was still like a bit of a free spirit. She had plenty of boyfriends and eventually a girlfriend. It was this girlfriend, a woman named Amber Rios, to whom she would eventually be engaged. 10 days after her 18th birthday, which does seem like very, like, when I first read this, it's like, oh my gosh, she just, like, 10 days after her 18th birthday, Caitlin moved to Arizona to start her new life with her fiance. But you got to think, by her 18th birthday, she's been out of high school for 2 years.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, even though that seems, like, very sudden and very, like, young, I mean, it is.
Yes.
But when you graduate high school at 16, I feel like your timeline kind of shifts a little bit.
Right.
So this would have been in September of 2014. I don't have a lot of information about how Caitlin and Amber spent the next year, but by the time she was coming back to Virginia to meet her new nephew, she had decided on cosmetology school for her next step. And one of the things she needed to do while she was home visiting was to get her high school diploma because she needed that in order to enroll.
And you don't mean, I mean, you meaning like getting her transcripts and...
No, she physically got her high school diploma, like the framed whatever. I don't know, but yes, that's what she got.
Okay.
On December 5th, 2015, the day Caitlin was scheduled to go back home, she ran into a little bit of a problem. She didn't have anyone to take her to the airport. Lisa had to work all day, and presumably Gabby wasn't available. And it would have been hard to find someone just randomly because where they were in the Stafford area was not at all close to National Airport where Caitlin was flying out of. It's over an hour away. And honestly, like a really terrible drive.
Yeah. And it's also important to note that there's not a good public transportation system on 95.
Yeah, and that's actually, yes, another big component of that. Because, yeah, there aren't any public transportation options. And, like, taking a cab would have been incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you really had to get somebody to drive you, and nobody wants to make that drive.
You're also being generous at saying it's an hour.
Very generous.
It's an hour if it's the middle of the night and there's no other cars on the road.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The minute 95 gets congested, now you're talking an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, so just for all of you who aren't from around here to kind of put this in perspective, if you heard about, for instance,
Senator Tim Kaine, who got stuck on 95 for 27 hours when we had some snow about a week or two ago.
Some snow.
Not even a lot.
Yeah. Right.
It was definitely more down there, but like that's where he got stuck. So it was actually right around this area on 95, this like Fredericksburg, Stafford area that like everything shut down and it was just like a whole snowpocalypse and everybody got stuck on 95 for literally 27 hours.
And while that is not common, it is common to sit on 95 for an hour and a half.
Yeah, for sure.
To get between Stafford and DC.
Yeah, it's again, not a pleasant road at all. So Lisa ended up calling her ex-husband, James, to help out. According to an interview Lisa gave to Crime Watch Daily, James was basically her last choice, but like they were desperate because, again, nobody wants to make that drive. James said that he could take Caitlin to the airport, but he had to be at work at 3 that day, and Caitlin's flight was at 5:40, so he was like, yeah, I'll take her, but I just have to get her out there early. And she could just hang out until her flight. So like that was fine, you know, not a big deal at all. So Lisa dropped Caitlin off at James's house on her way to work, which was around 9:30 a.m. So the idea at that point was this, basically Caitlin hangs out at James's house until they went to the airport. He would take her to the airport and then go to work by 3. So Lisa goes to work thinking everything's going to be fine. James has basically all day to get Caitlin to the airport. Like Caitlin has her suitcase, her diploma, her ID, her tickets, everything she needs. At 1:52 that afternoon, James even texted Lisa and said, I dropped Caitlin off. So Lisa's like, all right, cool. And the pair continues to text. Lisa says, okay, thank you. How is traffic? James responded, not bad. But then he says something weird. He says, quote, I dropped her off at the Springfield Metro station. She was going to take the Metro to the airport since there is a stop at Reagan, end quote.
So there is a stop at both of those locations, but why didn't he take her all the way to the airport?
Yeah. Like, that's what Lisa was wondering, because it's so weird. And, you know, so that's alarm...
The distance between Springfield Metro and DCA Metro, Reagan Airport.
It's like 8 minutes.
Of a drive, yes.
Yeah.
But it's a much longer metro commute. So like that wouldn't save time unless traffic was terrible.
Right. Yeah. No. So what, and it was the middle, like, yes, traffic's never great, but again, we're talking 1:52 in the afternoon. Like this is not rush hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was no logical reason for that because, yes, driving wise, it's not far.
Right.
So Lisa definitely found this odd, and like alarm bells kind of started going off because that particular metro station, the Franconia Springfield station, is only 2 stops away from the airport and it's by Springfield Town Center. So it's not like it doesn't make any sense, but for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Northern Virginia DC area, like the metro sucks. It is the worst public transportation system I've personally ever been on. I hate it. I hate everything about it. So I would not willingly go on there, and I'm relatively familiar with it, but Caitlin, being from the Stafford area, like way down south, was not at all familiar with the metro system. And like she had never been to Springfield. So she didn't know the Springfield Mall, which is where James like said he dropped her off. Like, why? She wouldn't have even known that was there, much less that it was 2 stops away from the airport. Like, it was just so strange. The thing that I hate about the metro is that it's not like the subway in New York where you buy a ticket and then you can just go wherever you want to go. Like the metro here is like you have to, it's different fares based on different destinations. And now they have like the whole smart card thing. Like, I don't know. It's just very unintuitive. And if you're not familiar with it, it's just, to me, way more effort than it's worth.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I rode the metro for years when I first moved here, and it's awful.
It is. And that's like when you do it regularly. So imagine never going on the metro, never being in Springfield, trying to get to the airport for a flight.
Where did he work? Like, so I'm wondering if
he worked in Geico, I believe, in Fredericksburg.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. I was thinking that
so
maybe,
I don't think he worked in like the DC.
Yeah. I was thinking that maybe he dropped her off there because that was like more on his way to work.
Right.
But
no, I believe that he worked, if not in the Fredericksburg branch that you're thinking of, like I think that he did work like closer to home. I do not believe he commuted into the city.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No, none of it makes any sense. But, you know, like, okay, so the Springfield Mall is a relatively nice mall, even now when malls are basically dying across the country. Like, it's still pretty decent. I was there maybe, I don't know, like right before COVID, and like they've got, it's still pretty good. And so I can understand wanting to kill some time there instead of the airport. But again, like Lisa doesn't even think that Caitlin knew that Springfield Mall existed. It's not like some famous, it's not the Mall of America. Like, you know, it's not some famous mall. Like, there's no reason Caitlin would have even known it was a thing.
Did he explain any of this in the text messages to her?
No.
So she just left it at that Caitlin was dropped off at Springfield Mall.
Yeah. Dropped off at the Springfield Mall, going to take the metro, two stops to the airport.
And then she just left it alone and didn't, like, ask why?
Not at that point, no.
Okay.
Because at that point, she was like, okay, this is really weird, but she didn't necessarily know that something was wrong. Because, again, her flight wasn't until 5:40 that night. You know, this is all happening around 2 o'clock. So, like, okay, this is weird, but, you know, Caitlin has time to get to where she needs to get, you know, whatever. But things immediately did start to get weirder. 8 minutes later, at 2 p.m., because, again, this last text was at 1:52, Lisa got a text from Caitlin that said, quote, I'm at the airport, battery dying, so won't be able to text for a bit, end quote.
Okay.
So apparently, Caitlin asked to be dropped off at an incredibly inconvenient place, but then didn't spend any time there. Then her battery is low, which is fine. But if she's actually at the airport, like she says, there are plenty of places to buy a charger if she didn't have one for some reason. And from all accounts, Caitlin would have done one of those two things. She was a 19-year-old in 2015. She wasn't just going to let her phone die and say, oh, well. She was going to charge it one way or another. But, you know, again, Lisa wasn't really running through all of this in her head yet. So she just responded, quote, okay, let me know when you get on the plane, end quote. Despite the fact that, again, it was 8 minutes later and there's no physical way to get to the airport in 8 minutes from the Franconia Springfield metro station.
Right.
Lisa wasn't thinking any of this at the time. Later, however, Lisa received a disturbing message that really made her think that something may be wrong. We are very excited to announce that this episode is sponsored by Podcorn. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities, such as host read ads, which is what this is, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. They are actually integrated with our podcasting host, and so I've been able to get on there and take a look at a lot of really cool sponsorship opportunities that might fit with our podcast. So we can really pick and choose sponsors that kind of work with us. And since, you know, a lot of my indie podcast family listens to this, I know that they would definitely be interested in learning about Podcorn if they don't already know. It's great because there's no middleman and you can be any size podcast. They have opportunities for small podcasters too. They can support the indie podcast community and help you monetize your podcast. They're here to support you and make sure that you're compensated. It's easy to use. It's easy to find the brands you want to do. Like, honestly, I have nothing but good things to say. If you are interested in seeing how they can help grow your podcast, please click the link in my show notes to sign up for Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities today. Again, thank you to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode, and let's get back to the show. Caitlin's fiance, Amber, messaged her because she, Amber, had received a text from Caitlin at 11:56 a.m. So before any of these texts about Springfield Mall, the metro, the airport, any of it, that said, quote, "Something came up. I'm not coming back today. I'll let you know when I get a new flight. I won't be able to text for a little bit," end quote. So this is 2 hours before James texted Lisa to say that he dropped Caitlin off, and Caitlin texted Lisa to let her know she was at the airport. So things are not at all adding up. Despite having asked Caitlin to text her when she got on the plane, Lisa doesn't hear from her daughter. So 5:40, her plane's departure time rolls around, but no Caitlin. It's not until 7:15, while Caitlin's flight is still in the air, that Lisa hears from her. She receives two texts that say, quote, "Staying with a friend, I need some time alone," end quote. So Lisa's like, wait a second, like, what the hell is going on here? She immediately calls Caitlin's phone, but it went straight to voicemail. She then texts her three messages. "Call me," then, "I'm very worried about you," then, "Please call me." But Lisa never heard from her daughter after that. The entire family goes into a panic, and they're contacting everyone they can think of, trying to figure out where Caitlin is. Then, 2 days later, Caitlin's family gets news of a disturbing discovery on the side of the road. 2 days after Caitlin was allegedly dropped off at Springfield Mall, a road worker found her suitcase on the side of the road. But it wasn't anywhere near the mall or the airport. It was over 40 miles away, not too far from where her stepfather lived. Now, the suitcase was like a canvas rolly bag, and it was pretty beat up when it was discovered. The wheel was broken, and the worker said that it looked like it had been thrown out of a car window. Police were able to easily identify whose bag this was because inside of it was her wallet, cash, debit cards, and Caitlin's plane ticket home.
None of which would be inside of the suitcase.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's so funny. Like, I literally never thought about that. But you're right. You would you don't put your wallet inside of your suitcase.
Right. Or your ticket.
Yeah.
You need all of those things.
Like, you would put your
ticket
in your wallet.
Right.
Perhaps. But
perhaps.
Yeah, you don't put any of that in your suitcase.
Because you need all of it to get through security at the airport.
Yeah. And even if you're on your way to the airport, it's not like you put it in there to, like, drive in the car to the airport and then fish it out when you get, like, nobody does that.
Right.
Yeah. That's actually, I never thought about that. That's, yeah. But even though all of that was in her suitcase, that doesn't mean that there wasn't anything missing. What police didn't find inside the bag were Caitlin's clothes, her phone, or her high school diploma. Now, at this point, police really don't know what to think. Is Caitlin the victim of foul play, or did she run away?
But if she ran away, why would she take her high school diploma with her?
And to start cosmetology school somewhere else? I don't know.
But leave her wallet?
With cash.
With cash in it?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like she ran away.
Yeah, and you're in her ID. Because, like, okay, let's say you wanted to use your high school diploma to do something, like, you're going to need, like, if that's the name you're going to go by.
Right. So this isn't a case where she would have been, like, leaving and starting a new life.
Right, with a new identity. Like, you don't do that
with... high school diploma.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You've got to, one or the other. You got to stay Caitlin Akins, or you got to be someone else. You can't just do half and half. So police started pulling location records from both her phone and James's phone.
Smart move.
Yeah. And once they did, James's story quickly began to fall apart. When Caitlin sent the text to her mom saying she was at the airport, her phone actually pinged more than 30 miles away from there. When James texted at 2 p.m. and said that he had dropped Caitlin off at the metro stop, his phone pinged near his home. Then, in that final text where she said she wants to be alone, her phone pinged in Stafford, which was only about 15 miles from where her luggage was found. But that's not all. So remember how James told Lisa that he needed to drop Caitlin off early because he had to work at 3?
Yeah.
Lisa later found out that he never went into work that day. Now, given that he was the last person to see Caitlin and he's acting extremely shady, police start to look hard at James. They asked him to take a polygraph test, to which he agreed, but then he backed out at the last minute and to this day still refuses to take one. Police also pulled surveillance footage at the metro stop, Springfield Mall, and at the airport. And I don't know about surveillance at Springfield Mall, but there's a good amount of surveillance at metro stops and definitely at the airport. They pulled surveillance from all of these places. And again, airports, heavily surveilled. We are in a post 9/11 world.
Right.
But James's car was not seen at any of these locations. And Caitlin herself was also not seen anywhere. So it's not looking good for old James, but why would he have done anything to Caitlin? Like, what was the motive? Nobody could really figure that out, you know? And beyond that, something happened the night before Caitlin left that could have altered her plans. Apparently, the night before she was due to fly back home to Arizona, Caitlin went to a party with, like, some of her old friends. There was a lot of alcohol, and according to messages that Caitlin sent to her friend, Kevin Eastridge, things got way out of hand. One of Caitlin's friends was there with her boyfriend. According to Caitlin, quote, "Her boyfriend got me really, really, really drunk, and then she kissed me, and then he kissed me. They did everything to me and each other," end quote. Caitlin and Kevin talked a lot, and from what it sounds like Caitlin didn't really feel like she consented to this, but she also felt incredibly guilty because in her mind, she cheated on Amber. So Caitlin was not in a good place emotionally on the morning her mother dropped her off at James's house.
Yeah. Still not seeing the connection to her taking her clothes and her high school diploma and starting a new life, but
yeah,
but I could see where she's emotionally distraught, and then she is now hanging out with her former stepdad who was an asshole to her, and maybe that caused some tension.
Yeah, maybe.
Just spitballing here.
This situation, obviously, from the night before, like, had nothing at all to do with James.
Right.
So one theory that people had was that Caitlin asked him to drop her off in Springfield because she wasn't intending on going home to Arizona to face her fiance. And yes, she didn't have her suitcase or her wallet, but she did have her clothes, high school diploma, and her phone, theoretically.
But didn't she say that her phone didn't ping in Springfield?
Yeah.
And also, if she took her clothes out of her suitcase, would she just put them in a trash bag?
Maybe James loaned her a duffel bag.
But what's, why?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
What would be the point of ditching her suitcase with a wallet and cash in it and taking most of the other contents out, if not all of the other contents out?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, but, you know, some people thought, well, maybe, like, he did. Maybe he, like, gave her a duffel bag. Maybe he helped her. Like, and some theorized that the reason James was acting shady and telling lies wasn't because he did something to Caitlin, but because he helped her run away.
So the theory is that this ex-stepfather who was supposedly verbally abusive towards her, right,
is now
suddenly helping her run away and giving her a duffel bag, emptying the contents out of her suitcase, except for her wallet and money.
And plane ticket.
And plane ticket.
And ID.
And ID. Throwing that on the side of the road and setting her free.
Yes.
Okay. Not all. It's flawless. There's not a whole lot of holes in there. It's perfectly logical.
Okay. Well, another theory is that Caitlin felt so terrible about what happened that she harmed herself. That maybe she left James's house, left her things behind, did something, and James panicked and got rid of her stuff. Or that she did it at his house and he panicked.
I could see the panic route, sure.
Yeah. More so than him helping her start a new life.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I know. It's, yeah.
I mean, I'm still not buying the whole she harmed herself and he panicked, but it's more feasible than him suddenly being her fairy godmother.
Yeah, yeah. Even though Caitlin was really upset, her friend Kevin told Crime Watch Daily that he did not think that she would have done anything to herself. After all, he was the one she was confiding in about this, and she didn't say anything to him that would have led him to believe that she was, like, at that point, that she would have harmed herself, that, you know, there's anything more than, like, she just felt very bad about everything that had happened. So did she run away? Like you, her family does not buy that. Caitlin was the type of person who constantly stayed in contact. Like, she would call her mom if she needed help baking cupcakes. She would text her multiple times, and if her mom didn't answer quickly enough, she would call her sister and ask her why her mom wasn't answering her texts.
Yeah, okay. So this goes further into, like, she didn't run away.
Right.
And if the issue is that she felt guilty about cheating on her fiance, or this incident made her rethink anything in regards to that, why wouldn't she just go back to her sister's house or her mom's house?
Well, exactly.
That's not the type of thing where you run away and never talk to your family again.
No, that's exactly my thought too. Because, like, her family, again, I don't know them, but there was an episode that disappeared on her. I've seen other interviews with her family. Like, her family does not strike me as the type of people who would, like, shun her for something like this, you know? If she was like, listen, something bad happened, I don't think I can go back to Arizona, I think, like, they would have been happy to have her back home, honestly, regardless of the reason. So I can see her potentially wanting to, like, run away from her life in Arizona, right?
Right.
To not want to face that whole thing.
So stay in Virginia where your entire family is.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Especially since at this point, as of this recording, this was over 6 years ago.
Right.
That's an incredibly long time to stay away. But with that said, investigators told Fox 5 DC in 2017 that Caitlin had sent a message to a friend saying that she didn't want to be here, meaning Virginia, and she didn't want to be in Arizona.
Okay, even if that's the case, once again, I go back to the suitcase, wallet, money, ID, no clothes inside.
Yeah.
And no high school diploma. Like, the contents of that suitcase being missing, with the exception of the things you would need to function as a person that's running away or starting a new life, does not make any sense.
No. And what I keep on going back to also is, again, it's been 6 years. Like,
yeah, right.
You know?
Now, we have had other cases where the theory is that that people have up and started a new life. I still don't buy it, because in every one of those cases, they leave money behind, which is the thing you need to start a new life. So I'm not buying it here either.
Yeah.
I don't see it. Why take the high school diploma?
I don't know. So obviously, everyone keeps going back to James because he was the one who was lying about where Caitlin was. He's the one who refuses to take a polygraph or cooperate with police. And while this, of course, looks bad, it is important to note that early on, police were able to secure a search warrant for his home, property, and cars. They conducted an 8-hour search that turned up no evidence of foul play or of Caitlin at all. But James also lives on 10 acres, some of which is swampland. He also has a rental property that is only about 5 miles away from where Caitlin's luggage was found, and that property has never been searched.
That's interesting. I wonder why.
Well, it's because his mother was a tenant at that property at the time, and she didn't give consent. And so because she was a tenant, police were not allowed to search. And there's also a third property in play. It was James's father's property in Fredericksburg. So his father had passed away the year before all of this, so that home was probably still in probate. But at that time, it wasn't in James's name, so police couldn't search it. But now it is owned by James.
So have police gone and searched it?
Not at this point. But with the initial search that they did of his main property, they also seized vehicles, which I mentioned, but also guns, computers, and his cell phone. Now, we don't have information about was or wasn't found on the computers, but James refused to unlock the cell phone for them, so they were not able to actually search it. So remember how I said James was supposed to go to work at 3 on the day he was supposed to drop Caitlin off?
And he didn't.
Right. But that's not all. James actually never went back to work at Geico again.
Hmm.
He didn't show up that day, and he literally never set foot in that place ever again.
So do we know what he's doing for a living?
Yeah. So in one of the sources I read, he actually didn't work anywhere for the next 6 months.
You said his father died.
Yeah, like right, I think in 2014. This was 2015.
Maybe an inheritance?
Maybe, I don't know.
Living off of?
No idea. So after this initial search didn't turn up anything of major interest, the case kind of stagnated. In 2016, though, police were saying publicly that they did not believe that Caitlin had ever left Spotsylvania County.
Didn't the cell phone evidence just...
Exactly. All the cell phone evidence, nothing was outside of Spotsylvania County.
Right.
Yeah. And there was nothing other than James's weird story that pointed to her ever leaving. Like her suitcase was even found in Spotsylvania County.
Yeah. You said 5 miles from where his mother was renting a house from him.
Mm-hmm.
Co-conspirator.
Yeah, but they didn't have enough evidence at the time to make a case. So one of the reasons I decided to cover this case now, because like I've known about this for several years, it's because there's been at least some movement as of 2021.
Okay.
In December, as the 6th anniversary of Caitlin's disappearance approached, the FBI announced that they were getting involved in the search. In Pursuit with John Walsh also recently did a segment on Caitlin, which her family hopes will help get her name back into the public consciousness. The Aware Foundation for Missing People put up a billboard in March of 2021 on Route 301, which is on James Brayton's commute to his new job at Dahlgren Naval Base. And much like the Trudy Appleby case that we covered in season 2, the police straight up said that they did it in order to hopefully embarrass him into cooperating with police.
I love it. I absolutely love that tactic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Caitlin's mom, Lisa, told WUSA9, quote, "Seeing her face up there, I'm hoping he sees it and has to think of that every day," end quote. It hasn't convinced him yet, but investigators say that they're still committed to the case. So I'm hoping that having the FBI become involved will be enough to push this case in the right direction. Caitlin's nephew, the one who she came down to Virginia to meet, has just turned 6. He doesn't understand where his mother's sister is. Caitlin's mother and her sister haven't given up hope, but like any family members of a missing person, they just want answers one way or the other. And they believe that James Brayton has those answers. Michelle Akins was 5'4" and 122 pounds at the time of her disappearance. She is a white female with blonde hair and blue eyes. She has a tattoo of 5 blue butterflies on her left forearm and a tattoo of 3 red stars on the top of her foot. She wears glasses and her nose, lower lip, and belly button are pierced. She has gauge piercings in her ears. She was last seen wearing black pants, pecan black Vans, tennis shoes, and a Bass Pro Shop fleece pullover. Caitlin was 19 years old when she went missing. She would be 25 today. If you have any information on Caitlin Akin's whereabouts, please contact the Spotsylvania County Sheriff's Office at 540-582-7115. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Conan Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Conan Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.